It's Thursday, July 5th, 2018. You're listening to Last Time on Video Games, a podcast about retro video games, and sometimes some other things. This is episode 227, Honorary Belmonts. Runtime for this episode is 1 hour and 2 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that curses the moon. My name is Jeremy.
We've gone full circle. I'm Tyler.
Praise the moon. My name is Zach.
Well played. Zach actually did a thing.
He did a good thing.
And well, I also did a thing.
I feel like the Dark Souls people will kill him now for praising the wrong thing.
No, I appropriately praised the right thing. My favorite characters are Leona, you know.
Fair.
And everybody lives Goku on the moon.
New headcanon. Saiyans transform into monkeys during the moon because Sailor Moon gives them the power to do so.
In the name of the moon, I'm going to wreck monkey. Your ass.
Along with the half dozen other characters that are currently living on the moon.
In Dracula's abandoned castle.
Yes.
So, Zach, what have you been playing?
So, I had a couple days off. So, I've actually been playing a lot of League of Legends because they recently released their new character, which is a support assassin, which I'm really afraid of.
So, you've been playing more?
I've been playing mostly ARAM, and there were a bunch of challenges I wanted to get done. But I finished all of Super Robot Wars X.
So did I.
Nice. What do you guys think of it now
that the plot
this?
Is less coherent than V.
Yeah, the plot is very, let's spin our wheels. Oh no, we spun them too long. We have to wrap everything up.
At least two of the new storylines that they added for the end of that game are concluded on divergent arcs from each other.
Okay, so it doesn't come together at the end? Or would
no,
you have to play
do,
the game?
They do come to the end, but like the end of the buddy complex stuff happens on a divergent path from the Crossange stuff.
Also, the Reconista NG stuff is with the buddy complex stuff, but in no way related. It's just happening on the same street.
So,
and then when you finish them, Simone's like, oh no, anti-spirals. We gotta go deal with that.
So you only get resolution to one of the storylines on one playthrough.
Well, the other characters resolve the other playthrough down the other branch. You just don't go with them.
Also, the buddy complex characters time travel ? To help the other party win? ?
I've constantly complained about the buddy complex stuff. I do like the units in that game. They have a fun little interaction with each other. Once they get above a certain morale bonus, anytime one character uses one of their special skills like bullseye, you know, 100% hit or dodge everything, it actually applies to both units.
Oh, that's cool.
And all three later in the game when you get their third wheel.
Once you get the dude's girlfriend.
Yeah, third wheel.
How sure are we that Darlene and the Franxx is not just a retelling of this show?
Very.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, these are two separate robots that let you send your brainwaves to each other. That's one robot you need to have sexual tension to pilot.
Yes.
Oh, no, we're running out of sexual tension. Break out the clams.
No,
the...
no, that makes you activate super mode if you resolve it.
I really need to catch up with that.
It's very good. I'm actually like an episode and a half behind now.
Well, there's so many series that I'm currently behind that I really wanted to watch. Actually, while I was beating, what's it called? Super Robot Wars X, I watched all of Kill la Kill again.
Why did you randomly decide to just watch Kill la Kill? All of it again.
Because I discovered that the dub is on Crunchyroll.
Okay. That makes
and
sense.
And was curious to know how good the dub was. Turns out, pretty good.
It was pretty good. That's how I watched it. So.
Oh, really? I was kind of against the dub of Kill la Kill because it was too damned expensive.
Yeah, the only awkward part, actually, I think, was Ryoko's adopted family. Like, they're not voiced super great. Most are just the mom, the dad, and the brother.
I mean, Mako is, like, the main character, so... Not the main character.
They're not...
The main character.
They're
no,
right.
She's fine.
The vast majority of it was, you know, equally as fun as the original dub, so... Or the Japanese.
That's how I felt about Stalkers. They were equally annoying in both languages.
Yeah, there's only one show I've ever encountered where I thought the dub was unwatchable.
Don't go back to Outlaw Star. That dub is bad.
I'll take your word for it. I was specifically thinking the dub for Soul Eater. The Japanese is fine, but the dub of Soul Eater is just god-awful.
Maybe that's why I didn't like Soul Eater, because I just started watching the first, like, two episodes in the dub.
And, oh, like, God, it is so bad.
And I'm like, why do people like this show? I don't get it. It's terrible.
The comic is actually considerably better, because the dub, or the show just kind of runs into a wall.
That's every
stops.
Anime based on a manga. The manga is better. People say good things about One Punch Man and My Hero Academia, but that's because they stop when they get caught up and wait for more comic to come out to adapt.
What about One Piece? There we go.
Oh,
what about One
Piece? Anime is awful compared to the comic. Okay. I'm just a sadist, and I watched 892 episodes. I might as well watch another.
You popped. You can't stop.
Exactly. The Marineford arc, they're trying so hard. They make up so many people to put in fights that didn't happen in the manga that go nowhere. Because they're like, oh my god, we've been caught up for a year, and he won't end this arc.
So after I beat Super Robot Wars X, I actually started up Dark Souls. It is a lot harder than Dark Souls 3, I think.
That is its reputation.
Is it because it's remastered, or is it because it's actually, like...
I think it's just harder, because, like, I'm currently stuck on a pair of gargoyle bosses that I have to fight on top of a roof, and there's two of them.
A pair would imply that there are two of them.
I was doing okay, because the first one, you fight only one of them, and then the other one comes down when you get the first one to half health. I'm like, oh yeah, this is fine, I'm doing really well, and then I noticed the second health bar had popped up, and there was another thing moving around. So I was like, well, this is not good. And so I started fighting that one and died. I have a halberd, so I'm going to try that next time I boot it up. I'm going to switch out my sword for a halberd and see if that works, because it'll give me a little bit of additional reach.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you're just going to try to poke them to death with the halberd?
That's my plan, to try that out and see if that works.
I did not get Dark Souls because the Switch version is delayed, and it's 100 goddamn degrees every day now, which makes me very frustrated, and I do not want to play Dark Souls in my room where my PS4 is.
Yeah, that makes sense. Although, for whatever reason, I don't really get frustrated with Dark Souls. It's weird.
I don't get frustrated with video games. I get frustrated in 100 degree heat.
That's true. I did get lost at a brief moment, though, in Dark Souls, because there's a point early in the game where someone rolls, like, a big rock at you, and it knocks a hole in the wall behind you. I didn't notice that it had blown a hole in the wall.
So you kept going the way the rock came from?
So I went that way, and I couldn't figure out where I was supposed to go, until finally I was walking around there and went, there's a hole here. I don't think I've been down this way. And then I realized that was where the rock came from, and I was just like, I am so stupid.
What else, Zach?
A lot of the mobile games that I play a lot of. Jeremy is currently in the process of hating my guts.
I don't hate you that much. I would like one LR, please, game. For the one called Trunks.
They are releasing one that you will be able to get.
I know.
Worry.
But that's like 6 months away.
Probably.
And he doesn't have shocking speed. He can't be friends with Gohan. All I want is for Trunks and Gohan to be friends. That's why I play Dragon Ball FighterZ, so Trunks and Gohan can be friends.
Also Frieza sometimes.
It was actually kind of funny because Fate Go released a new character, and I'm like, I have one of these summon tickets that lets me summon one character on it. I'm going to see what happens. Pulled the new character and was like, I guess I don't have to pull any more of these. And then I looked at their odds and I'm like, wow. This character has their odds increased from 0.023% to 0.7%. Wow.
What character was it?
Zhouhu Sanzang? I think it's some character from Journey to the West.
That sounds like a name that would appear in that.
Well, it's also like their event was Sanzang coming to the West. So it involves Chinese characters. And I'm like, I don't know most of this. And since a lot of the characters were replaced with other things, like King David took the place of one character.
Huh.
Yeah, if they have a Chinese game, it's probably fair to guess Romance of the Three Kingdoms or Journey to the West.
I think it was Journey to the West.
I feel like I should probably read both of those for real sometime.
I don't know that Romance of the Three Kingdoms actually reads well. I think it's a way better setting for plays and video games and other media.
My brother has a copy of Romance of the Three Kingdoms around here somewhere.
That's dangerous. You shouldn't say that out loud, because I'm going to sneak into your house late at night. That's it. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sneak in.
No, you won't.
Night.
You'll get distracted by how bad the paint job is on the door, and you'll never come in.
It's true. It's happened before.
What's wrong with my door?
Have you seen it?
Zach, have you looked at your door? Have you noticed that the lock is like 5 degrees offset from square?
I go into the garage.
Your door needs another paint of coat. That's what's wrong with your door. At
least. My door needs another paint of coat?
Yep, that was on purpose.
Exactly.
Unrelated to that, I played some Fighters as well because they recently released Vegito Blue and some Infused Zamasu.
I also played some of that. That's how I realized how hot it was, because I was like, I won this game. Why am I so angry? Oh, it's the sun. That's what's doing it. What do you think of them?
Yep. I'm really bad at that game. So it's hard for me to say whether or not they're really, really good. I like Vegito, but that's because like
he's Vegito's
cocky attitude.
Yeah. I like Vegito a lot. He plays very weird because his jab doesn't exist. And
like, is it just really short range, or
it's
I haven't seen any
slow multi-kick move?
His jab,
his crouching jab, is this like it takes a second sort of low punch. He doesn't really have a jab. Now
that's interesting.
You can catch people with a light off a wall bounce and get some crazy combos with his jab, and he can do some real interesting stuff. His heavy in the air doesn't hard knockdown. He has a throw that does it, but it's kind of hard to combo into sometimes.
That sounds interesting.
He's got a lot of very interesting stuff. The one thing that I don't like about him for sure is his assist is straight garbage.
I don't even know what his assist is.
It's his projectile move, the one where he jumps up and
I know which one you're talking about. He just, like, throws 3 energy blasts at people. And
yeah,
it's
hits
kind of
stuns for
place.
A quarter of a second, if that. And it's so hard to aim.
I find him fun, but that might just be because I like Vegito Blue in general.
I find him fun as well. I just find him very weird. I don't like Fuse Zamasu, but I don't like flight characters in fighting games.
He can fly?
Yes. He can fly, he can fly, he can fly.
I just assumed that was because I was assuming that he just kind of base wandered around, floating around. I didn't think he actually flew in the air.
Yes, he also does this, like, he is a character who does not touch the ground ever. But, yeah, he has a flight move, like Magneto in Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah, I was going to say, I seem to recall having fun with that as Magneto, but also that it's impossible to do what I want.
Kind of the same thing with Broly. I'm like, I don't really care for this guy. I like Vegito. I like Bardock. I don't really care for Fuse Zamasu or Broly, so...
Everybody likes Bardock, because you just press buttons and things happen. And then people make memes about Bardock seeing Frieza and Goku being friends in Dragon Ball Super, and him just being disappointed dad.
Well, I mean, I could turn into Reaper Doc, so there's that.
Reaper Doc?
So in Dokkan Battle, when you awaken Bardock, like Dokkan awaken his super attack, you know how in that game, super attacks, they have that line of dialogue that shows up? For the Super Saiyan 3 Bardock, it's just die, die, die. So
is the move also called Death Blossom?
No.
No.
But it does look kind of cool. So there's that. I've played way too much of those games, but that's just something I do now is play those mobile games.
Hey, speaking of Overwatch, that's a thing we did.
Oh, we did indeed play Overwatch.
Jeremy finally played Overwatch.
I did. It's pretty good, guys. I see why it won all the awards. I'm glad that people seem to have invented a best ongoing game award just to give it to Overwatch, because I do think that's a thing people need to be aware of and talk about in journalism.
Oh, like game that's currently still undergoing development type of deal?
I mean, Minecraft would have just won it for, like, 10 years straight there. So maybe there's a reason they didn't make it earlier, but...
Well, you'd think... I would have thought the League of Legends would have picked it up at least once.
Is there any year League of Legends was particularly good, though? Like, not to say League of Legends is bad, but I feel like there's not a year League of Legends had that was a real good year for it.
I feel like there are years that were better for League than they were for Minecraft when they were overlapping.
That might be true, because Minecraft, especially since it got acquired by Microsoft...
It's just kind of, like, I've heard of no new updates since
like
it got
acquired.
Like,
they add stuff, but it's like dual wielding. I'm like, I guess I want that in Minecraft?
And, at least for me, League of Legends seems to have a harder drawback than Overwatch does. I'd kind of forgotten about it until Jeremy was like, I want to play Overwatch. I had the sudden realization of, why? You've played it, right? Nope. Oh, yeah, I guess then we'll have to play some Overwatch.
I like it's a fun game, and I enjoy it while I'm playing it. I just never think about it otherwise. I'm
kind of the same way.
I quite liked it when I played it. I want to play more of it, but I don't really want to play with randos, so.
Yeah, no, I played a lot for like a week when it first came out, and like, this is fun, and then I just kind of stopped.
I really did like playing the Junkrat one, which you still haven't gotten a chance to play.
I played a little Junkrat.
It was the Halloween event.
Oh, the different, like, Lucio Ball is the one I can think of.
Well, the one that me, Tyler, Kevin, and Ed played together. It was, you only had four characters. You could play McCree, Hanzo, Anna, and was it 76?
Yeah, 76 is definitely in there. Against Dr. Junkrat.
Against Dr. Junkrat and all of his minions. It was like I said, it was a Halloween thing that was quite fun to play.
Yeah, people seem to really like when Overwatch releases those like little PvE-style content stuff. I think that's actually why it was an ongoing game. Since they added, like, what, three characters in the year?
I guess since I started playing, they've added five? Or when they came out, I think they've added five?
Yeah, because it was Anna, Brigitte,
Sombra.
Anna, Sombra, Brigitte, Doomfist.
Oh, I forgot about Doomfist. I don't like Doomfist. I tried. I feel like I need to practice with any
and,
of the attack heroes. Moira.
Moira and Orisa. So there's six. Okay. Just since they released the game.
Which I guess six per year isn't that bad.
Well, that's at this point, it's about a year and a half, I want to say.
Oh, for some reason, I thought it was the 1 year anniversary right now.
I think they might be celebrating the 1 year anniversary for something, but you know what I'm getting confused on? I think as the initial beta that I played was in April.
That might be. That you played the beta, and it's been about a year and a half since that. I mean, like I said, Overwatch has been in development since StarCraft Ghost got canceled.
I mean, initially that was about what League was. Well, League was releasing them way earlier than that. But depending on what you count their reworks as, it's about the same. League has released about the same number of characters in that time frame. So, I mean, it makes sense because
early League made characters very quickly.
So. Yeah. That's why I said specifically, like, nowadays, like, Modern League that I'm familiar with has about that same release cadence.
Have you played anything else, Tyler?
Okay. Well, I guess, yes, we played some Overwatch. That was fun. I love Brigitte, by the way.
I do like Brigitte.
The
I think everybody does, because I like her, you like her.
I like hitting things with a mace and watching my friends get healed.
Don, who was one of the guys we were playing with, apparently is actually a Brigitte main. I got an awesome D.Va skin that I just had 1,000 coin Overwatch coins from somewhere kicking around. So that's why I got that skin.
Oh, really I forgot cool. You can use coins by skins. I'm like, I have all these cool skins, but not for any characters I ever play.
So I didn't have a skin for D.Va, and I'm like, I like playing D.Va. I want a skin for her.
Yeah,
D.Va's
one of my favorites.
Black cat skin's really cool.
Yeah, that one's awesome. I like it.
I have Officer D.Va, but I do not care for it.
Officer D.Va. What have I been playing? I have almost finished Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright. Guys, it's good.
Has Phoenix Wright judged anyone yet? I know that's not his job, but it is his super and ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom, so.
Where he becomes
the
judge.
I thought he prosecuted them.
But because that game was beautiful, they animated different characters going, oh no, he's got me, for each one. Each of them have a different, oh no, animation.
That's awesome. I apparently need to go watch some Marvel vs. Capcom Supers now. I don't know, it's a really good game. Spoilers for, I don't know, it's like 4 or 5 years old now, I feel.
I think 4, but yes, it's old. We're old.
The professor gets turned to gold.
Oh no. Is he then claimed as evidence and locked up?
Yes, actually.
That's because that's exactly what you would write after that.
And then his arm falls off because someone knocked the statue over.
Oh, no.
So is that the end of the Professor Layton games?
Yep, that's it.
He's just future Gohan now. Except for you can't make video games about him because it's illegal to have one-armed people in video games in Japan.
Really?
But it's a gang violence thing.
Oh, huh.
That's why you never get one-armed future Gohan in video games.
Oh, I did not know that.
There's one scene in particular that's awesome, though, because Phoenix Wright is known for pointing, and, like, at the end of one of the trials, I think where they're trying to prosecute, I think, Maya for turning him into gold, he, like, does this dramatic, like, across-the-arm pointing, and Luke and a temporary side character can be seen just underneath the bench turning the golden Leyden statue around and then reattaching his arm to also be pointing the same way so that they're both pointing at the same time. It's amazing.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know that I have a whole lot to say about it. It continues to be a great Phoenix Wright game and a pretty good Professor Layton game. So if either of those are your jam, it's definitely one of the better iterations of either of them.
And it's on your phone, right?
No, it's a DS game.
Oh, I thought for some reason it was on your phone. No, I'm thinking of Layton Brothers. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, there are two Layton franchises, I guess, on the phone. One's Layton Brothers Mystery Room Detective Journal thing.
That's where, definitely the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, it's you and the ill-begotten bastard child of Professor Layton solving murders. Alex liked it. I never played it. The other one is Mystery Case Catriel's Fun Adventures. I don't know. It's the main character's Catriel. She's Professor Layton's adoptive daughter, maybe. I don't know. It's ambiguous because
and
they said
it
for
the Soundrock?
The Sandrock?
Because it's Catriel.
Yes.
It's like Quatra.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I got there. And that's much more like a regular Professor Layton game, except without an overarching plot, really, between the cases. So, I know, both of them feel kind of flat, in my opinion. I feel like I've been playing a fair amount of something else.
Temporarily on that, the Sandrock and Super Robot Wars X is god-awful.
I mean, it's the Sandrock.
It can throw its sword at things.
It's everyone's least favorite Gundam. Least Windmill Gundam.
I prefer it to the Ultron.
I do, too. That's Wufei's Gundam.
Yeah, that's Wufei. Okay.
Which
that's
the is also Gundam. Crap.
No, I mean, it's got the sweet javelin thing, right?
That it stole from the Dragon Gundam?
Yeah.
The Dragon Gundam sucks, too.
Okay.
And the Dragon Gundam style it from the original Gundam.
The
I guess
Ultron
you can't...
Gundam is just the Dragon Gundam.
Nope. It's got two dragon arms, and it doesn't have weird flags.
Yeah, the flags never really made any sense. But they're very useful for
it
positioning.
It was G-Gundam. Nothing made sense.
Canada has a Lumberjack Gundam. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, everything
Sweden
about
has
G-Gundam.
A Hot Babe Gundam. It makes perfect
Germany
sense.
Germany had a Ninja Gundam.
Yes, you know.
Well, he was a transplant from Japan, though.
He was a Japanese spy.
It was
just Street Fighter. It was, Street Fighter is very popular with kids these days. Let's just make our Gundam Street Fighter. And we'll make them all Gundams, so they'll buy all model kits of all of them, even the really terrible ones.
Like the Windmill Gundam.
It didn't work.
Or the Big Ben Gundam, which was a sniper, I seem to recall.
It was a. It was actually one of those royal guards with the big
fuzzy
hats.
Of the Buckingham Palace guards.
Yes.
I don't know. So I've been playing a fair amount, of Enter the Gungeon at some point. I haven't really had a whole lot of time for video games. Mostly what I've been playing is whatever I pick up on my DS. So, some Smash, but mostly Layton. And a fair amount of the assignment when I got around to it. Speaking of, what have you been playing, Jeremy?
Stuff I already talked about, mostly. Fighters, Overwatch, Super Robot Wars X.
So, is Vegito an interesting enough character that I should pick him up so I can get my ass beat by you?
Yes.
Okay.
I think you have to pick up Zamasu with him, but...
Yeah, they're a bundle pack.
I don't know. Both me and Jeremy have the season pass, so anytime a new character is released, we just kind of get both of them.
How long is a season?
Eight characters.
Okay.
It's currently all of the DLC that they're releasing.
It's if they decide to make more DLC later, it will be a separate season. But knowing the fighting game industry, they will probably just make Dragon Ball Z Fighters Erd Revelator.
Dragon Ball Z Fighters Chroma Extend Instinct.
And hopefully include such awesome characters...
As Zarbon.
Zarbon, the three dogs.
I was thinking Goldo. Goldo would be fun to play.
No, you already have Goldo. He's one of Captain Ginyu's attacks. Being a Captain Ginyu means never paying for a DLC.
I'm trying to think of like what other random... Original King Piccolo. That rabbit guy, King Rabbit.
Monster Rabbit,
Carrot. That's it.
Monster Carrot.
Launch.
Look, I want Bulma. I want Bulma.
But like...
Kid Goku.
Super Bulma or like... Original
like Team Bulma.
Yeah, original Dragon Ball Bulma. Yeah. Specifically...
GT Kid Goku. Who can be assisted by GT Trunks and Pan.
And Pan.
Kale, yep. Cauliflower.
Pan would be nice. I'm surprised I haven't done Kale and Cauliflower, actually.
I think it's got more to do with when they were producing that game. Super hadn't gotten to that point.
But now they have all these
and
blues
they're very
hanging
around. They seem to be very divisive. Super in general seems to be very divisive. You have a lot of people who really, really hate Super. A lot of people who don't mind Super but really, really hate the Universe 6 Saiyans and Kalen Caulifla specifically.
Why?
And then you have the people who like Super.
Because they make Super Saiyan meaningless because they can just do it.
But I didn't.
Look,
have
I
you
didn't
seen
say it's a
Dragon
good
Ball?
I didn't say it's a good argument, Tyler.
One of the because one of the
what
arcade
about
stages.
Goten?
One of the arcade stages is the Super Saiyan Smorgasbord, or whatever it's
bargain
called.
Bargain sale.
Bargain sale. The Super Saiyan
the
bargain
Super
sale.
Super Saiyan bargain.
That's a real line of the dub where when Trunks goes Super Saiyan, Kid Trunks, Vegeta goes, "What is this? A Super Saiyan bargain sale?"
I thought that was a cell line.
No, it's a Vegeta cell line.
But yeah, so he. So that's one of the enemy teams and fighters is actually called that. It's Gotenks, Young Goten, and I said Young Goten, didn't
yes,
I?
Yes, you did. And
Young
Trunks.
Gohan is what I meant. And Trunks.
I played See What's on the Switch because I thought Dark Souls was out. So I ended up picking West of Loathing up on the Switch. And also the new, not Castlevania game, Curse of the Moon? Blood Moon? Bloodstained Moon Times.
Did that come? That's the new one made by the guy,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
The guy
isn't
who
it
wanted
like,
to be Castlevania.
Isn't that like the Mighty Number 9?
Yeah, similar. Very similar. Kickstarted game by a guy who left the studio in the vein of his old projects.
Yeah, except I'm it
not,
wasn't made by Keiji Inafune, so it
yeah,
might
I'm
actually
I'm not implying
work.
That it's got yeah. the same level
quality.
Of quality, just that it kind of followed the same genesis.
I told you that I bought Mighty Number 9, right?
You did not.
It was the free game on PlayStation Plus. I'm not sure if free was a cheap enough price, but that is what I picked it up for. West of Loathing, I wanted to support that on the Switch, so maybe I'll play it on there, because I can play it in the basement where it's not a billion degrees. And I didn't play Bloodstained, so I can't compare it to Circle of the Moon, because I was just like, I should play more Circle of the Moon. Speaking of, the assignment this week, Castlevania, Circle of the Moon.
What if it wasn't a full moon when this game was happening? Would it just be like Castlevania Crescent of the Moon?
No, see, the thing is... It's
Castlevania Oops No Moon?
Circle of the Moon. The moon is just circled.
Yes,
like
it's just
it,
a circle that belongs
it is,
to
it's
the
just
moon.
Circled.
Yeah. It's just you find a star chart later, and the moon is circled.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Circle of the Moon is a Castlevania game, the first one created by the people who did Symphony of the Night. Blah. The first one done by the people who made Symphony of the Night after Symphony of the Night. When they had just completely given up on this 3D garbage. When they did two Castlevania 64s that were the same game, and somehow both were bad? Somehow just making the same game a second time didn't make it better?
But Castlevania Symphony of the Night was like this weird masterpiece.
This was a Game Boy Advance launch title, and so it's really, to a lot of people, the thing that showed off why you would want a Game Boy Advance over a Game Boy Color when that zombie system had been resurrected like 6 times at that point and never seemed like it was going to die.
Well, the Game Boy Color was remarkably robust, even though I think I only ever played Pokemon on it.
Well, it's the best machine for playing Pokemon on, and what else do you need?
Advance Wars?
Yeah, okay, fair. So Circle of the Moon plays basically how you'd expect a Game Boy version of Symphony of the Night to. The graphics on it actually look quite good. They're obviously not as good as Symphony of the Night, but they still manage to look very good, and it helps show off what the Game Boy Advance can do. In particular, it very clearly looks better than you could make it look on, say, Super Nintendo. Not by a lot, but...
That is true.
And this is in your hand?
It's surprisingly similar to Symphony of the Night, despite... I don't know, it feels different, but also the same, which is... It's a cool aesthetic balance they struck.
Yeah, they're really sort of... codifying a lot of new Castlevania tropes. They're not new, they've existed for a while, but they're now what Castlevania is. The anime art style, now it's been here for 3 games and it's not going anywhere, so I hope you like it.
Otherwise, deal with it.
Yeah, this is kind of where the term Metroidvania really gets coined. I mean, people argue about that all the time, but here's where it's not just one video game, it's at least two.
Yeah, it's no longer an outlier of a game.
Yeah. Although, because it's on Game Boy Advance, they have to strip down a lot of the stuff from Symphony of the Night. You no longer have equipable different weapons. You just have your Belmont whip, even though you're not a Belmont.
You don't have... Like, a lot of the animations aren't quite as flashy, I guess. Like, Alucard did a lot of, like, weird afterimage stuff, and they were, like, clearly playing around with the effects they could get away with on the PlayStation
but
on that game.
But the Game Boy Advance is not quite as powerful, so yeah. It can't handle the... fancy moves that like Alucard could do, so you're much more limited in what your guy appears to be able to do at the very least.
There's also just a lot fewer systems. They have a magic system, but it's not the weird Street Fighter magic system Symphony of the Night had. They don't have weapons, like I said. They don't have familiars. There's just a lot less that they have. They don't have different shields or different equipment that shows up on your character. It's just way more streamlined and kind of back to basics, while at the same time maintaining its RPG elements. You have stats, you level up, you find extra health bars, or bars, you find like health upgrades as you go on.
You get double jump boots.
So as we said, you're not a Belmont, you're Nathan Graves, a vampire hunting apprentice.
Who follows his vampire hunting master and also his vampire hunting master's son?
I wonder if he's any relation to Malcolm Graves.
Don't know who that is.
Really?
Yeah, who's Malcolm Graves?
Carries a shotgun. Spends a lot of time hunting Tobias Fate.
Who? I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
It's a League of Legends reference.
I was wondering...
Graves is what the like champion is named, but in his actual like biography, his name is Malcolm.
And you know what? He was a middle child. Anyway.
Get there just in time to see Camilla has resurrected Dracula, oh no. And then your master gets kidnapped and you get put in the death pit, but they forgot to add the spikes and the acid, so instead you just fall.
And then you
To be fair, if you weren't an anime type character and did a flip immediately before hitting the ground and therefore spent all of the momentum, you probably would be killed.
There's no fall damage in this game, Zach.
I know.
Dracula should know that. Dracula's been dealing with this stuff forever. I guess it's not Dracula's trap, though. It's Camilla's trap.
Yeah, and she's never tried to jump off the castle. So you and your anime rival both survive the fall, and you vow to get revenge for your master, I guess, or save him from...
I thought it was save him.
Yeah, to save him also from being a blood sacrifice. But mostly to get revenge.
But your friend is like, ugh, I don't need your help.
Well, you only find that out later.
You're a sissy baby. You stay here and I'll go. Yeah, you cool vampire hunter.
He's like, you're not part of the bloodline of people who kill vampires. And then he leaves and is like, and Nathan Graves, because it always says his full name every time the dialogue box pops up, is like, I can kill vampires just as good as anyone can. Watch me. And then he does.
So even though you're not a Belmont in name, you're pretty much a Belmont. You have the Belmont whip. Like the other games, it's got a bit of delay when you use it. Although it's more after the whip instead of when you're using it now. It's more that you're vulnerable after you strike if you don't kill or if you miss. You still have your jump. You don't have marital jump arcs. Those are long gone.
I actually specifically tried those out just to make sure. Because I had been trying to make my jumps normally. And then was like, wait, is that a thing in this game? Experimented and discovered, nope.
They never will be again, as far as I'm aware.
Thank God that's a terrible idea.
You also have a slide you do by hitting down an A that you can slide around the ground. You can slide into dudes.
Your mighty boots.
Yeah, you can kick zombie shins so much that they explode, which is nice.
That tracks with pretty much every game released as well. You're able to kill anything by kicking it in the ankles. Everyone has the Achilles exercise regime as a...
Well, it makes sense with zombies. You just kick them so hard the leg breaks.
That's true.
You also have the sub-weapons from the old Castlevanias. They make a lot more sense here than they did in Symphony of the Night, since you have a limited attack range. They actually help quite a bit. You're basically the normal Castlevania ones, the knife that goes flying far, but it's kind of useless. The cross that's the best because it's a boomerang, it does a bunch of damage. The holy water, which is useful sometimes because you throw it down in front of you. The axe, which is useful because it attacks in an arc above you. And the stopwatch, which stops time. You don't get the weird laser gem rock.
Oh, yeah, I wish they had a better button for the sub-weapons, because down, up and B, it's just really awkward.
Although, I would contrast that with, I mean, this doesn't necessarily excuse it, but compared to previous Castlevania games where you actually had to press up to do things, and also attack, maybe, while you're doing those things... Like, you never have to climb a ladder in this game, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, and up on the D-pad is a distinct button, so I don't mind it at all on a D-pad. It is super awkward if you're playing on a control stick. But on a D-pad, it's just a button. It's a two-button combination. It's not different from, like, R and A.
I guess that's kind of true. It feels weird to try and go for something like that. And it wasn't an option that occurred to me, so I actually couldn't figure out how to throw the dagger thingy that I found.
Yep. The sub-weapons damage also scales with your stats, which is nice. So leveling up doesn't obsolete them like it kind of did in Symphony of the Night, because your sword did so much damage than a rock you could throw. Also, your hearts, which are still your ammo, are limited, and you can find upgrades for them that increase your max number throughout the game, which I actually really like, because it incentivizes you to use the sub-weapons more, because you will...
Can't find more ammo for them once you've maxed out?
Yeah, and ammo's all over the place, so you have no reason to hoard it once you hit your max.
Yeah, so coincidentally, I got used to using missiles a lot more in Metroid recently for similar reasons.
Amazing how that works.
So I actually really like that little limit, so just because it pushes you on. You also can find things that increase your max HP or your max mana, because this game has a magic system, even though it's not the cool one from Symphony of the Night. Basically, enemies have a chance to drop various items. They can drop equipment, which also just increases your stats. There's nothing cool like new swords or anything. It's all just stat buffs. But also they can drop, like I said, cards. And you have two card combinations. You have two, I guess, types of cards. One is for different effects and one is for different modifiers, basically. And based on the two card combination, you can cast a spell on yourself, which drains your mana. Most of them are buffs. A lot of them just increase your attack or give your whip an element. Like, I got the one that is like, power up your whip. So then, like, I can power up my whip with the fire card. And that makes a fire whip.
Yeah, I got that one too.
Like, one that's actually very, I found useful for bosses, just gives you defense.
Yeah, I actually didn't get any defense one, but I got one that increased my attack based on the percentage of the map I'd filled out.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, which was actually a huge attack buff, but it drained mana really quickly.
I actually kind of like the magic system here, because if you can find the different cards, it gives you a customizable way to interact with the dungeon. Do certain monsters have a potential to drop certain cards?
Yeah, that's the way it works. Is every monster has one? I shouldn't say every monster, but
every type of monster has a chance to drop a specific card.
Not every monster can drop a card, but like if you just keep farming, say like a
Medusa heads.
Medusa heads, they for example, they might have a card they can drop. So yeah, it is tied to what kind of monster you're fighting. It's just, but not every monster has a card.
But it's not like you can farm, say, skeletons for 3 hours and find all of them,
because
they only have one specific type of card that they drop.
Yeah, and I really like the farm element too, just because it really adds the replayability. If you're stuck, you can just farm if you want, and you have this cool chance of a drop for something to help you.
As well as getting experience.
Yeah, but if you don't need to do that, then you're just going to get a certain random set of cards every playthrough, which adds to replayability and makes your experience different from your friends.
Yeah, one of the things I was thinking about that I don't know that I ever actually commented on in Symphony of the Night, we might have actually touched on this, is just the fact that you can farm and gain experience means that if you're not that great at fighting the bosses, then you can just get stronger and compensate for your lack of skill.
And in Symphony of the Night, I felt like just wandering around, you leveled up too quickly and you started getting way too strong for the monsters. I don't know if this game is just more intuitive to explore or if it's better balanced, but I never hit that point where like I felt like, oh no, these monsters suck because I out-leveled them. It always felt like I was keeping pace. It was only when I backtracked for some reason that I was just whomping through monsters. And that's what I think the greatest strength of the Castlevania leveling is if for some reason you need to backtrack, it's not really much of a chore because instead you get to feel really powerful for a few moments while you're just wrecking everything that gave you trouble in the early game.
That is a good way about going about doing those kind of backtracking, because backtracking is something nobody ever likes doing.
I like it.
I like it for a purpose.
Yeah, like if I'm going exploring for a specific thing, not if it's just like forcing me to go back. That's actually one of the reasons I liked Return of Samus so much, is that like a lot of Metroid games, you don't feel more powerful necessarily because you don't get a huge amount of upgrades to your firepower. You just get different tools. Return of Samus, you actually get like things that temporarily deplete energy in return for huge firepower that you can use to waylay enemies. And this game has kind of a similar feel because you're just more powerful. You have better stats.
It never requires that you backtrack that I could find. That's not true. The very end did, but that's... Or not the very end. The part I got to at the end did, but that's kind of a different matter that I'll get to in a minute.
Yeah, I was going to say, the level design of this one is a lot more straightforward than Symphony of the Night, which required you to go through the same areas multiple times.
It's usually just, I have to go back like one screen from where this boss is, because I saw a thing where I can probably use this item. And if you backtrack further, there's hidden stuff like those health ups and heart ups, but most of the time, the actual progress is very evident. There was only one time where it wasn't super obvious, and even then, I just explored everywhere on the map I could until I found the spot where I could advance now.
That's kind of how I was operating, but I found a couple of things and was like, oh, how do I get into this? And just got, talking to these guys, I found out that what I was trying to do wasn't going to work anyway. And I hadn't found the things I needed, so I was actually, I think, advancing when I stopped playing.
Yeah, I can't even remember what boss you killed to get the power-up you needed, because it was not a very memorable boss.
Yeah, and we'll save that, but for now let's talk about those. Like most Metroidvanias, this game gates progress with mobility upgrades that you need to get. Most of them are claimed behind bosses. They're the pretty standard ones for a Metroidvania. There's a double jump, there's a wall jump, there's a dash, there's a tackle that goes through boxes, which is not very standard. And that's kind of why I wanted to talk about them. The double jump is a huge help. There's a lot of enemies that are made way easier with the double jump, but almost all the other ones really just feel like they're these funny-shaped keys to get up areas. There's not a lot of actual ability you get with them, even compared to Symphony of the Night.
Yep. On the other hand, I feel like Symphony of the Night had a lot of overlapping uses in terms of mobility. So, I don't know. I feel like neither of them really hit the nail on the head.
It's kind of hard to say, isn't it? Because
a tackle that goes through boxes, just like I was like, oh, really? So you might as well just take the boxes away.
You can attack enemies with that.
That's true.
Funny-shaped keys, though, I think are kind of a hallmark of Metroidvanias. Funny-shaped keys for the funny-shaped locks.
But the good ones obviate it a lot. The good ones, like, I got this key and also it's this really cool thing. This one, after the double jump, I just really felt like, oh, we're going through the motions here.
Like
wall jumps are my favorite thing in platformers, and the one here just feels like it's a thing to get up this shaft I couldn't before.
Like, I'm thinking, like, Super Metroid, one of the things, like, I don't think you unlock mobility upgrades in Metroid other than the grappling hook, really.
The speed boost, like the dash, is
that
kind
is true. I also use it to just bypass areas after you get it, though.
Yeah, and you
can
ram through enemies. So, like it's a good one. It's a funny-shaped key, but also it does all this other stuff.
Yeah, like, I'm thinking, like, the super missile is not only a funny-shaped key, it's also your boss-killing weapon. So, I mean, that does it a lot better, I think, than this game did.
Well, double use is also, you know, kind of important for a funny-shaped key, because otherwise it's like, I found this red beam. What does it do? Well, it doesn't do any additional damage. It's red. All it's for is opening this red door.
Like,
otherwise, there's no point in using it.
I think those are the best Zelda items, too, or just, like, the ones that not only are a funny shape key, but also you can use them in cool ways. Although, like, I'm thinking about the top in Twilight Princess, and, like, that's a really cool item, but it's not actually very useful.
Yeah, it's useless. We'll play Twilight Princess one day. The thing about Twilight Princess is all the items are super set PC, because that game is super set PC, and all the set pieces are great. But it is a flaw if you're analyzing the game, you realize, oh, I'm just traveling from set piece to set piece. But this game isn't that game. My point would be, though, that like even though they have other uses, like once you get the wall jump, you can wall jump. But there's not a lot of places you really want to wall jump except for the ones designed to be bypassed by wall jumps. So it's just a limitation of the map design, which is nice on one hand because it helps funnel you where you need to go very easily. You very rarely get lost because you're just like, oh, I'll try the place I needed to wall jump. And that goes where you need to go.
On the other hand, you never want to wall jump outside of doing that. So
yeah, that does kind of provide a problem.
Like, there's never any place where you're like, oh, well, I could go through this the normal way, but it'd be easier to wall jump. I don't know. We're picking on that one a lot, but
it's just because wall jumps are my favorite thing. And like the tackle was the dumbest one to me. It's like, oh, now I can get through boxes because of my shoulder.
You know what's funny is there's a tackle in Guacamelee that works almost identically, and it's actually great because it's a sweet wrestling move at the same time.
But yeah, one more point before we get to the bosses, because that would be the easy transition, is the normal enemies. We talked about them a bit. They're a good source of farming. They have consistent drops. They basically just have loot tables like you might expect in an RPG, but you just kill them with normal combat. You've got basically what you expect from Castlevania. You've got skeletons who throw things at you, zombies who shamble at you, Medusas that travel
sine
at you
wave
sine
at
wave.
You.
Poison worms that poison you.
Yeah, so the monsters now have status effects they can inflict on you, like poison, which does what you expect, a small amount of damage that's kind of negligible. But over time,
the screen flashes, it gets kind of annoying.
The Medusas no longer knock you into death pits, because that wouldn't really work with this game. Instead, they just petrify you, which freezes you in place for a couple seconds and multiplies by 10 any damage you take. So you really want to avoid them still, but they're not like the instant death things. They're more of a nuisance, which fits the style of game a lot better.
That does seem more easy to get around than the guy hurling himself back into whatever pit is nearby.
Yeah, it's just a very nice, like, they're aware of the way the game's changed and that Medusas are these important iconic enemies, but they can't just knock you away, because that's not really how this game works. It's not about intense platforming action. I don't even think you can fall into a pit and die in this game.
I would be really surprised if you could.
Screen.
Yeah.
There's like one place you could do it in Symphony of the Night, I think, and that's only if you're like intentionally trying to jump off of the castle.
You can only die to enemies, and even then they don't do much damage. And like Super Metroid, if you find a save point, it's a full heal. And because this is a Game Boy Advance game with a small map, they're pretty plentiful.
You don't actually get a full heal in Super Metroid.
Oh, do you not? I thought
you
did.
No, only if you go to your ship.
Oh, okay. I knew you didn't get missiles back, but I thought you got a heal.
No, you should, but you don't. That's actually, I was mentioning that tool-assisted speedrun I was watching to this game. That's how he continues running through enemies, is he just beelines from save point to save point.
Well, I mean, it would work, I guess.
They are pretty close together, like I said, which is nice because it's a mobile game. And also, it's always a nice feeling of progress. They're very good at spacing them out so that you like are just starting to get low-end health when you find the new one. There was only once or twice in the game where I had to go back for one, and both were times where I went down side routes.
So you'd been doing some exploration when you found it?
Yeah.
Or that's where you took all your damage?
Yeah, and a lot of it was like, oh, I want to save so I don't have to go down that side again. And I know it's conquered and taken out care of. The bosses in this game are kind of lame.
Now, on average, yeah, they're kind of lame.
The first one is Cerberus. He just looks like a Cerberus. And also, like, there's no music sting or dialogue fanfare. Like, I was like, is this just a really tough enemy? Am I in the wrong spot? Should I go level up first?
Well, yeah, some of the bosses
just kind of show up.
Like, yeah. you walk to them, to be fair.
But, like, generally, like, some of them aren't even, like, much bigger than you or bigger than normal enemies. And, like, I was confused on a couple of them when I found them. Like, Jeremy, I thought they were just, like, normal enemies. And
I kind of figured the point of a boss was to make him impressive.
Some of them are. Not.
Yeah, the last one I fought is this weird, like, I don't even know how to describe
him. Goat in a mask and a stockade.
Like, stuck in the wall? Yeah.
Yeah, he's like in a stockade and his head is bound? But I don't know. He's weird. He's really cool. Comparing to a lot of the set PC bosses in, like, Symphony of the Night, like, I'm thinking of Legion. Like, that boss is really freaking cool. This boss is
kind of lame.
I mean, he's easily the coolest boss I got to in this game. And he's kind of not great.
Yeah, and, like, they don't have the dialogue or the big plot points before them. There are occasional plot points in this game, but there are a lot fewer than Symphony of the Night, which might be for the better, but makes it feel like you're not progressing as much, and it makes the big fights feel not as important.
Yeah, there aren't stakes, especially in the anime-esque setting. I feel like the fact that they dropped stakes is kind of a problem.
I mean, you end up with a situation of, it's like, we're killing this dude. Why exactly am I killing this dude?
Because the plot said so.
Well, because he's in the way. I don't have a problem with that. But it becomes weird when the plot does start showing up. When your tsundere rival's like, oh, you suck. I don't know why my dad likes you. Oh, don't help me fight this evil goat monster. I don't need your help.
And then you fight the evil goat monster and it's like, I told you not to do that. I'm going to kill you now. And you're like, well, bitch, please. I just killed the evil goat monster that kicked your butt. I killed the guy who killed Frieza.
But yeah, they're
not. With heart attacks.
They're not nearly as good as the Symphony of the Night bosses, or even the classic Castlevania, like, oh, here's all your favorite monsters bosses. Because, like, Frankenstein shows up, you know you're in a boss fight. But, like, the Cerberus, like I said, he's visually impressive. He's, like, three times your size, but he looks like a big set piece thing. But the music doesn't change. There's no, like, oh, what's that? I was almost a Nathan Graves sandwich. It's just kind of lacking, which is too bad, because overall I find the game very, very fun. I think it's the pacing between save points is very good. The exploration doesn't leave you a lot of forks, so it's kind of straightforward, but it does just give you a sense of making progress. The map is very good at funneling you to the right spot, so you never feel lost, and that feels good.
On the other hand, it does feel a lot more linear as a result, which is maybe a downside. I guess it depends on what you get out of playing a Metroidvania.
Bored, usually.
So yeah, let's talk about final thoughts. I don't know if I said this on the recording or not, but playing this game, my thought was, oh man, this is the bad Castlevania Game Boy. I can't wait till we get to the others. I mean, I know what the third one is, and I'm super excited for that just on principle, because yes, every video game does need to be Pokemon, but...
I'm sorry, what now?
Oh, spoilers, the third one you play a guy who doesn't know he's a reincarnation of Dracula, but he is. And as you kill enemies, you charge up a meter to make them your servants. And all of your special attacks are summoning the different Castlevania enemies to fight for you.
That's amazing.
That is
this
awesome.
Sounds great.
I'm with you. I kind of want to do that.
Yeah, and I guess similarly, I didn't know this had a reputation as the bad Game Boy Castlevania.
To be fair, it was really well-liked when it came out on the Game Boy Advance, but I think...
It just didn't age as well as the others.
It's the bad one because the other ones improved on it, is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, after they played the other two, went back to this one and were like, oh, this isn't as good as I remember.
Yeah, I mean, like, this, I feel, could be, like, a pretty passable port of Symphony of the Night, for example, like... It's a solid game. Yeah. I had fun with it. I'm probably not going to finish it.
You can definitely see how they got from A to B. It does kind of suck if you're a person who really liked those balls-hard Castlevania platformers, because this is like kind of the show that they're gone. Like, Symphony of the Night could have been this one-off weird thing, but with this, it's clearly not.
Yeah, I was going to say, we eventually get those back, but never in the form of Castlevania.
Yeah, I really liked it. I'm probably never going to finish it either. Just because I got to a part where the game started to get harder. After you beat that goat boss, he's kind of off in a corner, and instead of getting an item, you open a bunch of doors in the castle that you've seen before. They're like these little coffin things.
Mm-hmm.
And all the enemies get way harder, and that's how they kind of, I don't want to say justify the backtracking, but the backtracking's way different than going through, because now there are different and harder enemies. Which I thought was pretty cool and clever, but also it was like a clear increase in difficulty as you head into the end game. And I don't know that I'm ever going to want to finish it.
Zach got bored before getting that far.
Zach did get bored before getting that far. I have just kind of had it reinforced that I don't like 2D platforming Metroidvania-style games. If I'm going to play a game along the same type of vein, it's probably just going to be like Dark Souls or Dark Souls 3.
Well, so I'm curious to see what you're going to think of Metroid Prime if we ever get to it, because it's the same concept, but in 3D. I really like Metroid Prime. So
I do, too. Weird scanning and all. So speaking of whatever we were just talking about, because it's been a minute in real life, we have a list at our website, www.lasttimeofvideogames.com, listing all the games we've played from best to worst. At the top is Chrono Trigger, a game that starts with C. At the bottom is City Connection, a game that starts with C.
And in the middle, it's... I'm trying to think of a middle-ish game that we play that starts with C.
Castlevania.
Simon's Quest. Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest.
In the middle is Tecmo Bowl.
That has a C in it.
That's true.
I remember I played the one of that we kept trying to milk me for quarters I couldn't put into my Wii.
Good job, that game. I remember that too. So, I mean, it seems like we should compare it to Symphony of the Night.
The place we have to start is Symphony of the Night, but it's no Symphony of the Night. Like, let's be honest. Symphony of the Night has so much more going on. It's got the magic. It's got all the stuff I listed at the start. The magic system, the familiars, the equipment that changes, the ability to, like, just change your fighting style by equipping different things.
More interesting level design, better music.
Better story. That dumb cutscene at the start. I hate
it. It's really good.
It's so bad, but it's so good. It's the power glove.
What is a man?
Yeah, it's the what is a man thing. And, like, what's great, like, that's meme-worthy. Not to mention actually being pretty fun.
And it's also a cool way to start your story with the climax of the last game. I think the next game to compare it to is the other anime Castlevania game that we've played.
With Ryu Belmont?
Yes. With
Rondo
Ryu
of Blood?
Yes, Rondo of Blood. And I actually don't think it's as good as Rondo of Blood either. There are certainly arguments for it to go above it. It's a bit easier. It's a bit more intuitive. But I think one of the better, like, really hard platformer Castlevanias is better than one of the lesser Metroidvanias.
Like, it's kind of interesting because they're actually different genres, despite being the same series.
They got a lot of similarities because they're so close to each other. They've got the art style they've got.
I kind of don't like either one. I actually, if I had to pick one, I'd probably play this one. But that was because of a few things regarding Rondo of Blood. Like, it was kind of weird. It's supposed to be balls hard platforming, but it just annoyed me.
Yeah, it wasn't actually as balls hard.
Yeah, it's not even as hard as like Castlevania 1, but like it's in that genre rather than the Metroidvania Explory genre.
I would rather play the Explory type of game, even if it is in 2D and therefore kneecapped, as opposed to playing the just straight up platformer.
I think I'd have to agree with Jeremy on this one, that like as examples of their genre, Rondo of Blood is slightly better.
This is also very much in your guys' wheelhouse.
That is
not
true.
Mine.
Like, these are both genres I really like. So,
and they're both genres I really don't. This did tell me that it's not so much that I hate platformers because I suck at them. I suck at platformers because I hate them.
So the next Castlevania on our list is Super Castlevania 4, which is a kind of, I don't want to say mediocre because we have it kind of not high on the list, middle-ish on the list, upper middle on the list, but it's definitely one of the lesser kind of platformy Castlevanias. I think I would take Circle of the Moon over
that. Is that the one with the weird spectacle, like your whip could lack Chonda stuff and you had the rotating rooms and stuff?
Yeah, eight-way whipping.
I think that one was more style over actual substance. I think I would agree, and I think I'd put Circle of the Moon above it.
Like, it was still a pretty decent game. It's just like, yes, no. I think we've talked that one to death. Yes, I think it's unanimous.
Let's compare it to Devil May Cry. It's not 2D, but I think thematically they're similar. They're both games where that have an exploration element, even though they're not Metroidvania-y. They're both going for kind of similar tones, and it's this campy anime stuff with a huge gothic influence.
I think I'd prefer Devil May Cry.
I was actually going to say, I think despite all of its flaws, I might give it to Devil May Cry simply because it was kind of a genre definer in a way that this one's not.
Yeah, I think it's unanimous. That's kind of why I picked it, is I feel like it shouldn't go above Devil May Cry. And I do genuinely feel like they're similar games, even though one is 3D and one is 2D. I feel like a lot of what's good about each of them is actually kind of similar. But I actually also think the good stuff in Devil May Cry is better than the good stuff in Circle of the Moon. Okay, that leaves us with a small but weird list. How do we think it compares to Kirby's Dream Land 2? Just because that's the closest game in this area to it.
Dream Land 2 is
the
first
one. Assistant?
Kirby's Furry Friends.
Yes. Kirby and his Furry Friends. I think I prefer Circle of the Moon, actually. Despite being the Kirby fan on the podcast.
I guess I'd have to go with Circle of the Moon because I really don't like Kirby.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I really don't like Kirby. That's one of the better Kirby games, but I would prefer Circle of the Moon as well. Speaking of Kirby, right above that we have Kirby 64, the Crystal Shards.
Which has a lot of memorable combinations.
It's the Darth Maul game.
I like Kirby and the Crystal Shards a lot more than I like this game, that's for sure.
Oh, really? Because I like this a lot more than Crystal Shards, I think. Crystal Shards has all the Kirby problems of being too easy, and it does have some cool stuff. It's got the combining powers. It's where Kirby really starts to have weird, you need the specific power puzzles for 100% completion, but I definitely prefer...
Superstar.
Okay, that's true. But I feel like there's not that much of that. I guess Cave Story has a lot of it, huh?
Yeah.
Great Cave Offensive, I should say.
And also
Cave Story is something entirely different.
Milky Way Story, whatever that one is, where you travel from planet to planet.
I feel like that's got like extra lives and stuff. I feel like there's nothing required.
Also, unlocking new abilities, you have to have one of like three to get to the other ones.
Gotcha.
But
I prefer Circle of the Moon. So, Tyler,
I'm
it's
a
your
little
choice.
Torn. Like, I don't actually think Crystal Shards is... Like, I think Dream Land is a better game than Crystal Shards, but... I think I would have to give it to Circle of the Moon. Very, very slightly. I have much fonder memories of Crystal Shards than I ever will of this game, but I don't think it's a better game.
So, final question. A game by the same publisher.
Welcome to Die!
Do we think it's better or worse than X-Men for Arcade? I mean, it doesn't have those meme lines like Symphony of the Night does, so I guess that's a point in its disfavor?
I actually think this is a, like, pretty arguably better game than X-Men Arcade. I will substantiate that if necessary.
I would have to go with X-Men Arcade, I think, is a better game. I had a lot more fun with it, and as I think I've said before, I place a high premium on multiplayer.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of, like, the variety of gameplay in X-Men Arcade. Like, you do kind of the same thing over and over and over again. The enemies don't really vary. Like, it's colorful.
And
it has
I would
multiplayer.
Say very similar things about Castlevania games. So it's about even up.
That is true. Like, the combat doesn't really change in this game. You're at least thinking a little bit. Like, there's a puzzle you have to solve. It's a really easy puzzle, but...
If I may interject on your behalf, Tyler, I would say the enemies are a lot more diverse in this in Castlevania games than they are in X-Men Arcade, where in X-Men Arcade, their abilities are walk at you and maybe shoot projectile, whereas in Castlevania, they have different types of movement. They have different projectiles that have different rules. Some of them track you, some of them go quickly, but only in a straight line, etc., etc., which makes the sorts of encounters you have a lot more diverse.
Now, if X-Men Arcade had RPG stats...
I still think I would prefer X-Men Arcade to Castlevania Circle of the Moon. So I'm going to stick with my statement.
That's fair.
I think I convinced myself Circle of the Moon is better. I was willing to go either way, but...
It occurred to me, as we're talking about this just now, we haven't done the locked in a room test in a long time.
Oh, I'd definitely say Circle of the Moon. If I was locked in a room. With only those two games.
See, that's a hard one, because I like X-Men.
Locked in a room by yourself. For
locked alone.
I don't know if that's a fair, like, by yourself is a fair.
Okay, locked in a room with one other person who will play it with you, but also they'll just quote X-Men comic facts at you the entire time. And it's like, not the cool
ones.
You're
just making this into a very weird test. Bob
Liefeld was a guy.
No, I mean, like, he'll tell you the facts about Rob Liefeld's favorite flavor of gum.
I don't think Rob Liefeld knows that.
It's grape.
So, final spot is extreme number 62, grape. Above X-Men for Arcade, but below Devil May Cry, goes our newest Castlevania game. So what are we going to play next week, Zach?
So I'd actually been hoping to do this when Solo came out, but there's been a game I've been wanting.
Solo. What? I'm Han Solo. Horrible song.
No. So what I've been hoping to do it for a while. We're going to do a Jedi Knight Jedi Academy.
I feel like I've played this game. Does it culminate in a big arena fight at the end of the game?
I actually don't know. I can't remember. It's been a long time since I played the game all the way through to completion.
So Jedi Knight Jedi Academy. There are other Jedi Knight games, right?
Yes.
Because I feel like I tried to play Jedi Knight recently. I'm like, this is not at all the game I remember. This is like Kyle Katarn.
Yeah, Jedi Academy is you create your own character. And you follow them.
So next time on Last Time, we're going to Knight School for Jedi.
This has been Last Time on Video Games, a Last Podcast production, copyright 2018. For the conceptually impaired, all games and other media mentioned herein are copyright their respective owners. If you'd like to listen to past episodes or read some of our written material, visit our website at www.lasthamonvideogames.com. You can also send us an email at ltovg@lasthamonvideogames.com. We're also on iTunes, so feel free to hit us up and leave us a review. You've fallen down a nearly endless pit, but also you're an anime character, so game over, maybe?
Circle of the Moon.
I just remember that Clock Tower is a game, and I got really excited about the fact that it exists.
And now I added an S to it by mistake, because I'm bad at type.
Circle of the Moon.